Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as well this morning. There is a little bit of that as well, a transfer blow for Solskjaer, which actually relates to the bigger picture of what's going on in football and Manchester United at the moment. There are further updates to bring you in relation to this ongoing battle that football faces with these greedy owners. Some interesting things about an emergency fan forum on Friday. Obviously the protest on Sunday, 2 o'clock, Old Trafford on Sunday. If you're going to get yourself down there, this is going to be a very, very big protest. There was a protest on Saturday, as we know, massive protest on Sunday against the Glazers and the greed in football, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Two things as well. I want to talk about Solskjaer's transfer blow, because what we're going to see this summer by many, this is coming in from many people, that this summer transfer window is not going to be that good. There are rumours that, you know, Woodward's not going to have anything to do with this summer transfer window, because, you know, why would you want it when it's not going to be a very good transfer window? Lots to discuss this morning. But two things I would ask you. First of all, there is a petition in the video description. This, if it gets 100,000 sign-ups, it will have to be discussed by the government, about 50 plus one. It's on about 30,000. I think we need to push this sort of thing. It's not just United-related, it's football-related, but this will benefit us as well. So please, link in the video description. It will take you a minute to do it. Sign that petition, share that link, get as many people to sign it as you can. And second of all as well, the Premier League have announced their two first inductees to the Hall of Fame this morning. Neither is a Manchester United player. I've done a video on that. The link is in the video description. I'm getting a lot of shit on it from people, so I'd like some support from Manchester United fans. Get on that video and get your thoughts in. I think, well, as the video says, just check it out. I think it's a farce, but apparently I'm wrong. So check out that video and support it if you're a United fan. But that's football related, and we're going to merge the two. So that's quite good. We've got the petition and we've got a football debate. So check those links out. Just want to call this out as well from Kedder. Spotify looking to take over Arsenal. Bergkamp, Henry and Vieira are supporting that. Change afoot at Arsenal. Thierry Henry has come out and said that he's totally with the fans. Fans are the future of football, and he doesn't recognise that football club for what they did last week. We need look, if Arsenal get new owners, I will stand up and applaud them. This is not about a competition in the sense that I don't want Arsenal to get new owners. I want Arsenal to get new owners. I want Liverpool to get new owners if that's what their fans want. But Arsenal fans want new owners, and I want them to get new owners, because we were all in the same boat last week, and I'm not going to compete with Arsenal on this. If they can get their owners out, well done. They probably feel the same as us. Well done. If they get their owners out and we don't know, that is a fail. That is a fail on us, isn't it? And, you know, some would say it's harder for us because we're worth more than Arsenal, and, you know, our owners are more stubborn, etc., etc. But that is the challenge in front of us. Arsenal probably will get rid of their owners. Can we remove our owners from our football club? And that is the big challenge that we've got. Thoughts on Ed's government meeting, says Josh. I think there's a lot of things being thrown out there at the moment to divide us. I want to talk about Solskjaer's transfer blow, because this feeds into a lot of things, and it's how I merge this through together. So, look, divide and conquer. I'm very much about unity. And look, I'm going to keep pushing that. And that's my personal venture. I want people to do what they want to do in relation to supporting things. And I will be supporting things. And the United Stand as a community will be supporting things. And we've obviously got a very big voice with a very big platform that we can use and will use. But I'm all about unity. And that's across football, but also across Manchester United. I am seeing division. And I will call it out, but I'm only one person. I can't do a lot about it. There is division. There are people saying things that I just think don't help. But the chat that Ed Woodward may or not have had with the government. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer saying things about the Glazers. Fans falling out about each other because they don't like each other. These three things all accumulate to the same thing. Division. What is it? What is the government chatting with Ed Woodward? Solskjaer saying something about the Glazers and fans not liking each other. What has that actually got to do with removing the owners? It's just muddying the waters. It's just diversion. It's taking you off target. But people are falling into those traps. And who knows if these traps are being laid? People mention the name Neil Ashton, who is our PR spin guy. Do you think he's sat at home playing FIFA, or do you think he's working his arse off using all the connections he's got to try and distract and make things happen? Drop a little whisper in here. Get this story out there. It's all comes together for the same thing. If you can start to fragment and break this United voice, then you will break the momentum. And The Athletic, David Ornstein, got to give him a shout out. He was talking in his latest article or podcast about Manchester United are going to organise an emergency fan forum on Friday. where, you know, maybe Richard Arnold will be there, maybe Ed Woodward will be there, maybe the Glazers will be there, maybe the head of communications will be there. I would say about this, I don't know who's on the fan forum. I've heard of this fan forum before. I would presume Manchester United Supporters Trust have a representative. I don't know who else. I think they try and have it quite diverse in relation to certain season ticket holders from certain areas in the ground, certain age groups. But, you know, I don't know if the United Stand have never been asked to be that. And some people would say, well, that's great. But that's not. This is what I'm talking about, unity. You might not like the United Stand. You might not like a certain fanzine. You might not like a certain organisation. But if you want a fan in Delhi or LA or Sydney to not buy a Manchester United shirt, do you think Manchester United Supporters Trust can hit them? Or do you think the United Stand can hit them? And what I mean is their voice. Like, if we don't work together, we can't have a united voice. And that's what we need to do here. So I don't know what this fan forum will involve. I would ask the question, though, if there is going to be a fan forum on Friday, and obviously we won't be part of that, so I won't be able to tell you what's been said in that. But if that does go ahead, I would almost say, why are United fans going to an emergency meeting to speak to Manchester United on Friday anyway? They've already betrayed our trust. Why would you sit in a room and listen to their lies again? And I'm not saying that they will tell lies on Friday, but what, are we not past mediation? Are we not past emergency meetings with Manchester United Football Club? What can they do that they've not already done? Oh, we're really sorry, we won't do it again. Not going to believe that. We're really sorry, we didn't know anything about it. Not going to believe that. We're really sorry, we're going to spend money in the transfer window. Not going to believe. Well, you might do that, but I still don't believe you're in it for the money. So I just think that mediation's always a good thing, but what can they actually offer? And maybe a powerful message would be, if they are holding that meeting, nobody attends. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but you know what I mean. Ollie did a great job yesterday taking the heat off the Glazers with the diabolical managerial decision, says Julian, not helping with his press conference as well. Well, look, in relation to the football, let's pull it back in. So the talk this morning is, and I think this is a bad thing, but it's good in a way because we're starting to merge football back with what's going on in the club. So Eric Bailly to sign a new four-year deal is coming out from ESPN this morning. Now, some people would be very happy with this. Now, thankfully, I've already made my position on this very, very clear. I like Eric Bailly. I think he's a very good footballer, but I would let him go in the summer. There are a number of issues why I have a problem with this. One, I've seen Eric Bailly play very well for us numerous times over the last 18 months, and the very next game, Lindelof comes back into the team. So Eric Bailly is behind Lindelof and Maguire, and Ollie has proven this over the last 18 months. Lindelof and Maguire ain't good enough. So Eric Bailly staying at the club, he's not suddenly going to be the first choice centre-back because he hasn't been for the last 18 months anyway. So he's a third choice centre-back. We are keeping a third choice centre-back at this club on a four-year deal, and he's injury prone. Are we not learning? Are we not learning at this football club? We've just given Phil Jones a five-year deal and we're going to give Eric Bailly a four-year deal. Now, Eric Bailly is a much better player than Phil Jones, but he's injury prone. Why are we chucking four-year deals at players that are injury prone? That's a bad thing. And point three, if we keep Eric Bailly, why would we buy a centre-back? You've got Lindelof and Maguire first choice. You've got Eric Bailly now third choice. And what's happening with Twansebi? Why would you buy a Varane or a Koundé or anyone like that? Why would you do that when you've already got three centre-backs, one who's third choice? This to me hints of we're going to sign Ben Scheitz or something like that. So I just think that, you know, it is. I'm not angry about it. I'm not frustrated about it. But signing Eric Bailly on a four-year deal, I think we all love Eric Bailly. But you can't trust Eric Bailly. He's always bloody injured. What's the future planning in giving a four-year deal to Eric Bailly when he's not Ollie's first choice, he's injury prone, and it basically ends any chance of us buying a decent centre-back now? I'm not saying we won't buy a centre-back, but you're not going to go and get a Varane or a Koundé when you're going to keep Bailly and you've already got Maguire and Lindelof. To me, this stinks of we ain't spending much money in the summer, which was probably going to be the case anyway, but where is the money coming from for the summer? To me, this Eric Bailly story is nonsensical on so many levels. And I cannot reiterate how much I like Eric Bailly as a footballer. And I think he should have been playing a lot more. I personally think Maguire and Bailly play together much better than Maguire and Lindelof. And I think the team plays a higher line. And I think the midfield stop babysitting our centre-backs. Because we saw it again yesterday. We played pretty poor yesterday. I mean, I thought McTominay and Fred, especially McTominay, were really poor. But we didn't look like we were going to concede a goal because we're playing with a back six again. We're bubble wrapping Maguire and Lindelof. And the signing of Eric Bailly on a four-year deal, to me, just makes me think next season, yet again, we're playing with a back six for most of the season with Maguire and Lindelof. That's what I think Eric Bailly signing a new contract means. Because Eric Bailly, I heard somebody say to that, oh, this is good, but he's got to play him. He's got to play him. I don't think Solskjaer is going to change his mind between Maguire and Lindelof and go to Maguire and Bailly, because he's never done it. He's never chosen to do that. And also, even if he did do it, how long is Eric Bailly going to last? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? 5 weeks before he gets an injury for 5 weeks? So I just think this is a sad indication of how that football club is run. That you need Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And this is why I say transfer blow, because we've seen this time and time again. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer desperately needs a centre-back. We get linked to people like Varane, and then what do? We give a four-year deal to Eric Bailly. Because basically what that's all about, and we've seen the evidence of this time and time again, instead of buying a centre-back, let's tie up what we've already got on a long-term deal and stick with what we've got. And I think that is what is about to happen here. We are about to see the end of a centre-back coming in, because we're going to stick with what we've got. And on top of that, not only are we going to stick with what we got, we're going to give it a massive contract. So in 2 years' time, when everyone says Eric Bailly needs to go and he's got 2 years left on his contract, we'll be like, well, we can't get rid of him because no one's going to buy him because he's injury prone, he's 27 and he's got 2 years left on his deal. It just, I actually hope that this is wrong. I hope this Eric Bailly story is wrong, because it doesn't make any sense to me. And it really, 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 really does come down to the fact that it's just typical of Manchester United. And I think it is a transfer blow for Manchester United, definitely. And I do think that we're going to have a very, 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 very odd transfer window. And I saw somebody today saying, yeah, you can see this happening. They'll get Pogba to stay, but he won't really be staying because he'll be running his contract down, and apparently it'll be a good transfer window. Rafael Varane about his contract. My future is clear. I'm focused on the end of the season. We're in a very intense and key moment. There's still no agreement to extend his contract. That's from Fabrizio Romano talking about Varane, which actually, you know, this does feed into something as well that I was reading today from Spanish reports, that Chelsea are leading the race to sign Varane. I mean, I don't want to... I think we're already in a very weird situation in relation to football anyway, but this does tie in with it. We know what's gone on last week. We know there's a big impetus to remove these owners from the club, but things aren't going to get better. They're not. We're going to... If you thought last transfer window was bad, how can this one be bad? We might be facing big fines because of this Super League thing. I mean, not only was the Super League the biggest betrayal in football history, it's also probably going to cost us a lot of money as well. And it's already cost us enough, but it's probably going to cost us a lot of money. Manchester United financially weren't in a great position, apparently, to them anyway. We're going to be in a lot worse a position this summer. So I can see United signing maybe a Sancho. We are favourites to sign Sancho. I could see us signing a Sancho and that's it. But let's be honest, when we were coming into this transfer window 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were saying we need a centre-back, a CDM and a winger or a striker. I can see us getting a winger and that being it. And I think this Eric Bailly deal, to me, stinks of we ain't buying a centre-back, and we're certainly not going to buy a decent centre-back. We're going to stick with what we got. And therefore, next season, it means Lindelof and Maguire at centre-back, a back six, and Eric Bailly is back up for the next 4 years. I despair, really. But what do you want Solskjaer to do if he's being told you've got no money? And that's the problem. You've got no money. You've only got this amount of money. I can't really say anything about it, because if Eric Bailly is signing a four-year deal, I think it's more than Eric Bailly signing a four-year deal. I think it's a very clear picture of what we've got to come, which is another step backwards next season. We're not going to get second next year, are we? I think Man City and Chelsea are nailed on for top two next year. Manager and staff don't have the big club pedigree or experience. There are good players, but the management lacks the know-how to take them to the next level, and so the stagnant state of affairs, says Barath. Mings, here we come, says Sumya. We ain't getting anyone. Glazers won't spend, says Advath. But look, the flip side of that coin is that I think many of us said last week, if it means a couple of bad years to get rid of the Glazers, then I think many of us would take that. And maybe that's what this is all about. I can only reiterate that I really do like Eric Bailly, but I think football's ruthless in relation to on the pitch. I mean, we've seen how ruthless it is off the pitch, but I think ruthless is the word on the pitch. I said it, what was it, 2 months ago? I said these exact words. I really like Eric Bailly. I think he should be our first choice centre-back with Maguire. But if you're asking me if I'm giving him a new contract, no. Even if he was playing regularly for us, I wouldn't give him a new contract because his injury record is appalling. How many times do you need slapping around the face with a wet fish to realise that, you know, you're being hit around the face with a wet fish? Like, his injury record is appalling. He had three separate injuries the season before we bought him. Why did we buy him? And so it's not just at Man United. He's not just unlucky. It's not just he needs to get over it. He is injury prone. He will remain injury prone. Why would you give someone a 4-year deal and hope that they're going to be your future when they're getting injured as much as he is? I mean, look, I know we like players and I know they've got personalities and I know we all want to like them on and off the pitch. That's just the natural way of being. But you've got to be ruthless. I don't care. Wan-Mata. I love Wan-Mata. He's done. He's got to go this summer. I don't care how popular he is in the dressing room. He is done. He's on a lot of money. His time is done. He's got to move on. That people might say that's ruthless, but if you want to be in competition with the best teams in the world, you better be ruthless. You can't just chuck people on the pitch because they put a shift in and ignore players and keep people on the bench who are better. You need to build a very good football team, and to do that, you need to be ruthless. Eric Bailly, I'm sorry. And also, the big part of why I don't want Bailly to stay is because Solskjaer won't play him anyway. He's proven that. So it is a worry. It is a transfer blow. And I think that Solskjaer's going to face a very, very difficult summer transfer window, which I think he probably would have done before this Super League, to be honest. Would you take Chris Wood at United? No. No. Sean Dyche should be screaming and shouting outside Old Trafford every day. Welcome to the United Stand Members Club, Mikhail Roach. So there we have that in relation to that. And of course, Varane leading the race for... Chelsea reading the race for Varane. As I said, there was something today about Manchester United being favourites to sign Jadon Sancho. I mean, look, I don't think anybody feels like getting involved in the Jadon Sancho to Manchester United rumours anyway. We did all that last summer and we're all in a much more angry position now than we are. But I believe it when he's holding up his shirt. I do think it's possible that United will do something. It's hard to read what Manchester United's owners are trying to do at the moment. I mean, what do you think they're trying to do? What do you think Manchester United's owners' plan is? Because my opinion on this is hardly any better than yours. Welcome to the Members Club, Vidison. I personally think that if the Glazers could have a wish at the moment, it would be for everything to go back to normal and they just keep making money out of the club, taking their dividends, keeping us in debt, servicing the debt with our revenue, taking the dividends out, and they keep doing this for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years because it's a cash cow. And I think that's that we all know what the Glazers are. If you didn't know what the Glazers were before last week, you definitely do now. But most of us knew what they were anyway. They're businessmen. I don't knock that. There are worse, more ruthless businessmen than the Glazers out there. All they're doing is making money, and people have been doing that for time. So I don't think that they are... I don't dislike them because they are successful businessmen. I dislike them because they basically turned Manchester United into a business and not a football club. I don't see any reason why they want to sell. I don't think they are sat there panicking. I think what they are doing is they are waiting for this to blow over. They're waiting for the wind to just blow this over and then we continue again. They've had this for 15 years. All right, this is probably as big as it's been, apart from the ones about 15 years ago in relation to protests. But I don't think the Glazers are sat there thinking, oh, we need to sell. We need to get out of this. I don't think it is. And I don't think protests like last Saturday or on Sunday, as big as it's going to be, ultimately, they're not there. They on Monday, it's over. So I don't think that they are planning on going. Welcome to the Members Club, DM One Try. I don't think they're planning on going at all. I think they're planning on staying. And we have to work on how we change that. And if they do stay, then we're not going to see Premier League titles at Manchester United. We're just not. You know, I thought about that a lot over the weekend. You know, Gary Neville a year ago, probably I've said it, you've said it, 3-year plans, getting a title race. That's not going to happen, is it? We're kidding ourselves. We ain't going to get in a Premier League title race. Some would say we couldn't do it with this manager anyway, but you know, I don't necessarily agree with that, but we're not going to do it with this manager because we're not going to do it with these owners. We wouldn't do it with Pep. We wouldn't do it. We're not going to do it. They're not serious about spending the money that this club makes to be successful. If this club was run as a football club, the revenue we have could be pumped into the team. We don't make any profit every year, but we don't go into debt, and we, you know, we build a proper football club. That's not going to happen with these owners. So I don't see change. I don't see change. And I don't think that they want change. I think what's happening at Arsenal looks like change. But at Manchester United, I don't think the Glazers are looking to change. And I think that's why they want the fan forum meeting. Because what they need to do is, and some would say, well, no United fan's going to fall for it again. But if 100%, and I don't think we have got 100%, but if 100% of United fans are united together now, in a week's time, if it's 95%, the Glazers will take that because, well, we've won 5% back. We keep working. And I think that's what the plan is. They will fail Ollie in the transfer window again, and you will have the stories of unrest until ultimately they sack Ollie. We need to stop this, says Andrew Lees. Look, I don't want to give the Glazers a way out here, but I said it over the weekend, and I'm sure many of you would agree with me. If I was in charge of this football club, and I was the Glazers, and I wanted to calm this situation down, we need to be sacking Solskjaer in the next 8 months. How do we do that? Now, it's not that they don't like Solskjaer. I think they do. I think they'd like Solskjaer to win a Premier League title. But the cheapest way and the best way for them to get out of trouble is to sack him. Well, the best way to do that is to not really back him in the summer. I can see a million miles off, like many of you, that if we got second place next season, it would be miraculous. I think it's almost miraculous this year. So he can only drop next year. He can only be worse next year with this squad. I can't see this squad getting second next year. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but I don't see it. So next year, the likelihood is we're not going to be as good next year in league position compared to this year. Well, already that means, oh, he's not good enough. If they get to sack another manager and bring another manager in, it automatically, psychologically, it's like, well, let's see what this manager can do. Oh, it's another 2 years of the Glazers. So I think that they've got enough plans in their heads here. Morning, Mark. Love the show. Keep up the good work, says Mikael Roach. And Andrew Lees, I think they will fail Ollie as well. What else do we need to talk about? Arsenal purchase, I've spoken to you about. Eric Bay, we've spoken about as well. And for a bunch of changes, Arsenal purchase. I mean, somebody just said there, I mean, I really hope Arsenal don't get new owners before us. I don't mind what Arsenal do. Of course I want United to get the Glazers out before they get Kroenke out. I do want that because I want us to be the forerunner of doing it. But so there is a competitive element to it, but I can't not want Arsenal to get what we want. They want their football club back. But will they get their football club back? I mean, another rich owner, does that mean they get their football club back? I don't necessarily know, because a new owner is going to come in and have to inherit all the problems that Arsenal have got. And, you know, a business is a business at the end of the day, isn't it? So it doesn't necessarily solve your problem, does it? But I want Arsenal to get change. Of course I do, because I can imagine they feel the same as we do. The big thing that Manchester United, and the hints in the name United, is unity. Have we got that unity? Or are there still people out there that think, nah, we don't need those people to help, we can just do it on our own, because, you know, they're still lost in that world of bitterness and division. They're the challenges we're going to face. I've been encouraged by a lot of the conversations and things I've seen over the last week, but I'm in no doubt that the challenge ahead is huge. It really is. And the protest on Sunday, 2 o'clock, Old Trafford, will be huge. But this time next week, that protest will be over. What's next? There'll be a lot of coverage of that. There'll be a lot of... I think that's going to be the biggest protest we've seen across the last 2 weeks. And that will be very, very impactful. But what's next? What happens after that? Is that enough? I think you've got to hurt the Glazers financially, which means you've got to hurt Manchester United financially. But they've been hurting us financially for the last 8 years. Have they really? And people say they've spent £1 billion. And they have spent £1 billion. And that's a lot of money. And, you know, how much of that is down to having a piss poor CEO in charge? I mean, we have spent a lot of money, but they've also taken £2 billion out. So Don't be fooled by the fact that rival fans will say, how can you moan when United have spent £1 billion in the last 10 years? Well, because our owners have taken £2 billion out. We could have spent £2 billion. And also, they appoint the CEO. They appoint the board members. We've spent money badly. It's not just about... If it was all about money, we win the argument anyway, because the Glazers still have us in hundreds of millions of pounds of debt. They've taken a lot of money out of this club. We have to service that debt. So yeah, we've spent money, but they've taken a lot of money out. But it's not just about the money, is it? It's about the way the club's been run. It's about the people who are running the club. It is the money is a big part of it, but it's the infrastructure. It's the way the money's been spent. It's the poor decisions. It's like giving Eric Bailly a 4-year deal. Love the guy, but his injury record is abysmal. And it just means we won't buy a centre-back now. Now, if we keep Eric Bailly and we buy Ben White or Tyrone Mings, and that's our summer in relation to centre-backs, but Chelsea buy Varane, I mean, come on. That Chelsea deal is way better than anything we've just done, and yet we're supposedly closing the gap. You can't keep fighting opposition who are in the peak of their condition with two hands, with 2 hours time behind your back. And this is what they keep sending us out to do. Do you think Jadon Sancho will... Well, let's take some of your questions. Do you think Jadon Sancho will happen? Nothing will surprise me this transfer window. Nothing will surprise me. I mean, in one way, they might go and do something ridiculous to try and win your faith back. And look, I personally think a lot of you will fall for it. Maybe not everybody who's watching here. Maybe not everybody who's watching this video. But this video might get 100,000 views. There are hundreds of millions of Manchester United fans. And I think if the Glazers went out and bought Jadon Sancho, then I think a lot of people would be like, oh, give him a chance. Psychologically, I think they'd be giving him a chance. And what can you do about that? I think when the new kits come out with their new sponsor on it, loads of people are going to buy it. And I can't, personally, right here, right now, I cannot justify... I don't even want to wear my Man United tracksuit. I always wear my Man United tracksuit for this show. At the moment, even though it's stupid because I've already bought it and it's a nice tracksuit and it's got Man United on it, it's not got Aeon on it or anything like that, why would I not wear it? At the moment, I'm just a little bit like... I'm definitely not buying a Man United kit this summer. My daughter will be demanding it. And I'm like, I'm going to have to say no to my daughter. At this moment in time, that's how I feel. Do you all feel like that? Or are you going to see that... I mean, we're going to see... They did great jobs last week at United Stand MUFC on Twitter, you know, United District, United Journal, you know, there's loads of them. They did a great job last week and they kept us up to date with what was going on by the minute. If there's a picture today of the new United third kit, they'll put it out there. I don't think they should. And, you know, I could probably say to the people who run our Twitter, I don't think we should, but people will be like, oh, I love the kit. It reminds me of this. It's Adiara. We shouldn't be buying the kit, in my opinion. Now, I'm not putting that voice out there because it needs to be a united voice, but I don't think we should be doing that, because I think that by not buying the kit, Adidas shit themselves, the new sponsor shit themselves, and therefore the Glazers shit themselves. I think we've got to hit them financially, but people will say, well, if you hit them financially, we're definitely not buying players. But, you know, are we buying players anyway? But these are bigger conversations, and you've got to deal with it as a democracy. And look, people might attend that fan forum on Friday. The fire calms down a bit, you know. I am one person, you are one person. There are a lot of things going on, but we'll have to wait and see. If you look at the past few years, have the Glazers really improved our squad? They spent very poorly, and I think they will continue with that, says Didier Curran. Few people saying they won't be buying the kit. Skippy says Spotify owner Bergkamp, Vieira and Henry interested in buying Arsenal if Kroenke is willing to sell. Thoughts? Well, we've spoke about it a couple of times, Skippy. I would say well done to Arsenal. Well done to Arsenal if they can get their owners out. I mean, does the new Spotify owner come in and make a massive amount of difference? Is he any better than the Kroenke? That's what I would say. But it's change. It's change, isn't it? And I would take... look, there's tears here. There are real tears, but there are tears here. That the Glazers are in charge. That's what we know. The Glazers sell. We get a new owner. That's change. It could be better, could be worse. 50 plus one, where you get membership and, you know, you can't have one owner owning the club, would be the ideal. Change is what we want, isn't it? And I can't argue with Arsenal. Thoughts on Konate going to Liverpool? Well, Konate does have a bit of an injury problem. And I think that as certainly as a United community, when we talk about transfers, we do talk about these sort of things. And that's what I love doing. And I remember talking about Konate a few weeks ago. And many of you were saying, good centre-back, but he is injury prone. So why do we want him? And I agree. I agree with that. But having said that, it shows from Liverpool that even Liverpool... And I don't think Liverpool are going to remove Henry as their owner. I think Liverpool, speaking to Liverpool fans, some of them are very angry, but they're already saying we can't remove them because there isn't unity to do it. Already there are fan groups and fans that are willing to, you know, stick with them because they won a title last year and they won a Champions League. And I think Liverpool will find some money. Effectively, I think you've got very different stories going on with different clubs. I think Arsenal are like us. They want change and they didn't really like the owners before this anyway. I think Liverpool did like the owners and felt let down by them. And I think that those owners will know that and they've got a little bit of hope because they know that the fans like them but are let down by them. Right, let's reward the fans. Let's get a couple of players in. Let's show that we are committed. So that's what Liverpool are going to do. So yeah, Konate injury prone, says Dozen. But look, I'm sure we don't. Would you rather have Konate? Would you rather have Eric Bailly? I'd rather have Konate. Both injury prone, but I think Konate is younger, better, and would. It's not even that he's better. I do like Eric Bailly. I don't. It's not even that I think Konate is better. Actually, it's just that if Ollie wanted him and bought him, he might actually use him. One of the big problems with Eric Bailly for me is that Ollie doesn't use him anyway. Why are we giving a four-year deal to a reserve? That's the bottom line, isn't it? Why are we giving a four-year deal to a reserve who's injury-prone? He's not a first-teamer. Ollie doesn't trust him as much as he trusts Maguire and Lindelof. And saying he's going to give him some game time, well, I'm sure he said that to Van der Beek when he bought him. Like, he's not going to pick Eric Bailly over Maguire and Lindelof. He's set his stall out. Maguire and Lindelof are his first choice centre-backs. He doesn't like Eric Bailly more than he likes Maguire and Lindelof. So giving a four-year deal to a third choice centre-back, to me, says we ain't spending any money on a decent centre-back. We may well get Tyrone Mings and we may well get Ben White, but we ain't going to buy a top-quality one if we're going to do that. And look, it's only a paper story. Maybe we're not going to give a new contract to Eric Bailly. You've always got to look at it like that. But the plan, I agree with Sally Devil Red 7, I think the plan should have been to let Eric Bailly go and bring in a replacement because that's ruthless. Sorry, I've read one of yours, I better not. Cameron, who's a member, says, if you were the Glazers in the current situation of fans being on your back, would you sell the club or back the manager and try win the trust of the funds back? Cameron, if I was in charge of this football club, what would I do? I think that's a very good question. If I was the Glazers, what would I do? Well, look, I'm not a football fan for a start. I bought this Manchester United football club on debt. It didn't cost me anything. I've never paid that debt back, so that's not cost me anything. I've made loads of money out of it. I've increased the value of this football club by a huge amount. When I cash in, I make a huge profit. If somebody was willing to give me $4 billion, I'd probably say, you know what? This is a bit of a toxic situation. I'll take the $4 billion and go. But on the other hand, they've never liked us. They're never going to like us. We're still going to make a lot of money. Maybe let's spend a little bit more to get some players in. But, you know, all we really want is top four. Keep the brands coming in. Keep the fans happy. I think one interesting way of looking at the Glazers is that people say, why don't they spend money and win things? Because that's going to make them more popular. That means they'll get more fans. But at the end of the day, if you were in a restaurant and you know that your restaurant is going to be full for the next 20 years, no matter what you serve up, as long as you don't give people food poisoning, people are going to keep coming for the next 20 years. You can guarantee your revenue. You can guarantee people are going to want to sponsor your restaurant and things like that. Yeah, you could spend a bit of money and double the size of your restaurant, but no, I'm not really that bothered about that. I'm happy with the money that's coming in. And I think that's like the Glazers. They know they've got an attentive audience. And until that audience isn't attentive or starts to disappear, then I don't think they're that bothered about selling the restaurant. So what I would do is, if somebody came in with $4 billion, I'd take it. But if they don't come in, I certainly wouldn't be selling it on the cheap, and I certainly wouldn't be being forced out. I'd want as much money as I can, because that's what the Glazers have always been about. Off topic, a quick prayer for India, Mark. 350,000 cases a day, almost 3,000 deaths a day now. The COVID hotspot of the world, exponential growth of cases, says Anurag. Yeah, I mean, look. You're absolutely spot on, and I do send prayers to India and any other place that is suffering with this COVID scenario. We, unfortunately, in the world, well, fortunately, I don't know whether it's fortunately or unfortunately. I think it is unfortunately that this pandemic has hit people at different times. The UK, we've had a couple of really bad periods, and now India are having it, and I'm sure other areas of the world have and will have it badly. So in the UK at the moment, we are in a situation where we've hardly got any cases. We've got a lot of people who've had the vaccine, and it is slowing down, and we're starting to come out, and, you know, pubs and things and cinemas and people in the football yesterday. There's a bit of light, but other areas of the world are not in that situation. And we must remember that, because we've all been in the dark on this. And, you know, prayers to India, massively populated country, which obviously isn't going to help with something that's spreading like that. It's spreading like wildfire, and most importantly of all, people are suffering. They're not getting access to, you know, the oxygen, and, you know, crematoriums are overloaded. This isn't real life. This is horrific. So yeah, massive prayers for people in that area of the world. And just, I mean, what can be said, really? Stay safe. And stay safe means try and avoid contact, and, you know, social distance, and all the things that have been said for the last year. And hopefully this vaccination program can do what it's done for the UK, because it's been a big game changer so far. So we won't get rid of this if we don't get rid of it as a world. And there are new strains, and, you know, as much as the UK is vaccinated now, a new strain could come in at any time. So, you know, it is a very, very, very serious issue. So thoughts and prayers to everybody in India as well. But yeah, I mean, look, on that, the only thing that seems to have worked, if you haven't got the vaccination program, is to shut everything down and don't interact. I don't know what the situation is. Do you think these protests will have an impact on the board, says Dia? The impact of the protest next Sunday will be there for everybody to see. It will be a very, very big event. And I think that, you know, looking at what happened on Sunday, on Saturday, the atmosphere was good. It was a good atmosphere there. I'm not so sure the atmosphere will be different on. I think the atmosphere on Sunday will be different. I don't think it'll be about singing a few songs and, you know, cheering and stuff. I think there'll be a lot of anger on there on Sunday. I think it's going to be a different type of protest. And that will hit the news. And ahead of a big game against Liverpool, that's why the timing of it is perfect in many ways. What the fallout will be from that, we'll see in the days, hours and weeks afterwards. But it can't be the only plan. There has to be a secondary, third, fourth, fifth plan. I don't feel that the Glazers are under any pressure at the moment. I think that, you know, even this fan forum meeting on Friday, to me, demonstrates that they think, oh, let's get a few fans together, say we're sorry, say we've got plans in place. But ultimately, I don't think many Man United fans are going to fall for whatever meeting that's all about, because whatever they say, you can't trust it. Oh, we're going to do this now. We're going to rebuild this area. We want more fans in the ground. We want more people. We want to sort out this area. We're going to invest in here. We're going to buy some players. You're still in charge. We don't want you in charge. So you're telling us you're going to do all this, but we don't want to listen to what you're going to tell us, because you've lied. You're all about the money. Now you're going to start doing things. You've had 15 years to do this. So I don't think that's going to work, but I don't know. I don't know whether it's going to work. As I said, I'm one person. But as Advad said, there's no point going to the forum in honesty. Well, look, I wouldn't be asked to it. Flex wouldn't be asked to it. We're not on that fan forum, so we wouldn't get asked anyway. So it's not our decision whether people should go or not, because some of these people have been going to these meetings for a very long time, and it's up to them. I would like to think that they will boycott it. I would like to think that they won't go to it, because ultimately you're mediating with people that can't be trusted anyway. And there's a big message by not doing it. I don't see what comes out of that meeting. Unless they're going to say, look, we agree, we're going to give you 50% of the ownership, we only want 49%, you can decide your future. If that's what they're going to say, great, but I don't think they are. What they might do is they might be a bit clever and say, well, look, everything's on the table to sort this out. Let's keep discussing about this for the next few months till it goes quiet, and then we'll just stay as we are. That's a tactic in itself. We're open to discussing change. Let's start having the meetings about it. The meetings go on for bloody ages, and by the time you get anywhere, people have forgotten about this, the fire's gone out and it's over. You know, delaying tactics effectively. But who knows? Who knows? We won't be party to those meetings, so we won't know. We will only hear things. I think most of these fan forums happen and you don't actually get the minutes of them for about a week or two sometimes. So we don't know. But 51% for the fans would be nice. $32,000 plus have signed the petition so far. Keep promoting and sharing for others to sign. Yeah, I do want people to sign that petition. It's really important. It's in the video description. Please do. Robert McCormack says, would you go if you were asked to go on that fan forum? You know what I would do, Robert? I will make personal choices about things because that's what I do. But I won't make personal choices about things that are, you know, I can't. This is not a dictatorship, and it never has been. I have an opinion, and Flex has an opinion, and other people on the channel have an opinion, and that's the way it should be. If I got an invite, which I won't, if the United Stand got an invite to be on that fan forum on Friday, I know what I personally think, but you know what? I would ask you lot. I would say, right, let's run a poll. Do we go on it? Do we not go on it? And if 51% said yes and 49% said no, we would go. I would put it like that, Robert. Personally, my opinion is that how can these people be trusted? But if they did invite someone from the United Stand, then suddenly I would think, hold on a minute, at least they're inviting other voices. So Jay, no, they won't be. Nobody will be invited to that. So I think people not, this fan forum already exists. It's been going for years. There already is a fan forum. It's representatives from different sort of things, and I think a lot of it's around season ticket holders, from what I remember. Manchester United Supporters Trust will be there as well, so it's not a newly formed fan forum. It's people who are have always been invited to it. Yeah, so I think that would be the best. But please do sign the petition, because if that can get 100,000 signatures on it, which is a bit of a challenge at the moment considering it's been going for a few days, but we've got to keep sharing that link in the video description about the petition. Do sign it. If we can get it over 100,000, it's another thing. And it might not be something on its own that makes a big difference, but as many things that are worthwhile doing, we do. I think this is going to be a domino effect. I think the protest on Saturday, the protest on Sunday next week, the petition, lots of other things that are going on. They all need to. Unity isn't just people sticking together, but it's loads of things coming together and creating a domino effect. That's what we need to do. I think we're throwing some punches at the moment, but if you think about the Glazer ownership, it's a bit like a titanium wall at the moment. You know, we're throwing punches at it. We might be knocking a few dents in it, but we're not pushing through yet. And we need to do more and more things, definitely. If you live outside the UK, use the postcode M160RA, says Z Jamie. So if you live outside the UK and you want to do the petition, use a UK postcode, and there is one that you can use, M160RA, says Z Jamie. And what happens if they ignore the protest? They're going to ignore the protest. Of course they're going to ignore the protest. But that doesn't mean you don't start doing it. Please smash a like on the video, by the way. Lots of content coming up for you over the next few days. And obviously, as always, we will keep you up to date with everything that is going on and everything that you can get involved in. I'm very aware that the global fan base are what can they do. Look, we had a stream of the protest on Saturday, and the plan is to do that again on Sunday, so you'll be able to see it on this channel. But there will be things that are going to involve you. And I think there already are things that involve you. You know, do you want to buy a Man United shirt or a Man United tracksuit at the moment? Do you want to put money into the Glazers? There's lots of Manchester United merchandise that people will be thinking about buying at the moment. Do you want to hold off on that at the moment? You're playing your part if you do, I think, but there'll be a lot more than that. This is about everybody. And I had this conversation with somebody last night, actually, and they were basically saying, we don't want you involved because you divide fan opinion. And I went, I divide fan opinion? Oh, I have an opinion, but how do I divide fan opinion? Tell me one thing that's been said by the United stand that wasn't wrong. Should we still have Mourinho in charge? Should we still have Van Gaal in charge? You know, should we have sacked Ollie in October, November? No, said we shouldn't have done that. Is Armic Fred going to win us a title? No. Was Fellaini going to win as a title? No. You know, all right. There's a lot of people having an opinion, and there's definitely been mistakes made with fan cams, and I put my hand up about that. There's definitely been mistakes made about fan cams, and I would almost say that fan cams on this channel, in relation to what you've witnessed before, don't exist anymore, and they won't exist in that platform. We'll still be at the ground, but the way that we do our fan cams in the future is going to be different, because I think you need to innovate. And there are things that this channel have done wrong, and I think, you know, I agree with people who've criticised it with that, but fans having an opinion, I actually think the United stand's a brilliant thing, because when things like this happen, having that voice and platform that people can come together on is absolutely fantastic. And look, people might say, well, I don't think you should be at the protest. I don't think that should happen. I don't think you should be involved in this. We don't recognise you as real fans. Hold on a minute. I recognise the fact that the fans who go home and away are the lifeblood of this club, and I've always said that. I recognise the great work and the fact that everybody is passionately against the Glazers. But I also recognise the fact that we can't just rely on the fans who go to the games home and away. We can't just rely on Manchester United Supporters Trust. We need everybody here, because thousands might be able to go to the protest on Sunday, but millions won't be at the protest. Thousands might be able to not buy a Manchester United shirt when it comes out, but millions cannot buy a Man United shirt when it comes out. And that's what I mean. A fan over in Mexico, a fan in India, a fan in America, a fan in Australia, a fan in China can make a real dent on this ownership, even if they can't go to a protest. And that's why we need everybody, because it's not just about going to the protest. It's about how we engage everybody, because every person that doesn't do something that we all don't do is bigger if you use that global fan base. So for me, the global fan base is far, 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 it has to be part of it, because that's the people they were trying to hit. The legacy fans were the people they were trying to get rid of. We don't need the legacy fans, we need the global fans. Well, if we're going to make change, we need the global fans as well. It's so logical. We can't just do this in, oh, we don't need them involved, we just need us. That's why you're going to fail. Your protest will work. Loads of people will go to the protest, but on Monday that protest is over. You need everybody involved. You can't be a dictator, and you cannot be not all inclusive in this battle. We need everybody. Think how your enemy thinks. The enemy, what of the Super League people, wanted rid of the legacy fans and wanted the global fans. So if we just focus on the legacy fans to win this battle, we'll lose. Why did they want the global fans? Because the global fans outnumber the legacy fans massively. We need the global fans on this. We need unity. We need everybody together. That's what we need. That's why you need to forget all your past issues and work together. That's what we need. It's very logical, and people are applauding it and saying, oh, you know, Mark for CEO and everything. I don't want that. I just want to be part and help. And it's absolutely obvious to me that you cannot go, we don't need these people, we don't need that, oh, we don't need fan cameras, we don't need that. Yeah, bloody do. You do. Because you need the full weight of everything. And the minute you start excluding people, the minute you start making your argument weaker, we must use everything that we've got. And we must learn from what they were trying to do. And what they were trying to do was very clever. It was betrayal, it was anti-football, but what they were trying to do, if they'd succeeded, Manchester United would have failed to exist in the way that we love it. All these fans who go home and away, all these legacy fans would have been lost from the game forever. because it would have been a franchise. It would have been a worldwide franchise. Oh, you're not going to follow us home and away anymore around the country. We don't really give a shit because we're going to play Barcelona in New York. And then we're going to play Real Madrid in Sydney. And you know what we're going to do then? We're going to play Juventus in Delhi. Couldn't give a shit about you legacy fans. So yeah, the legacy fans have been treated like absolute shit. It's appalling. But we must all work together because there's a huge fan base here. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. Please do smash a like on the video. Make sure you sign the petition in the video description. And also, as a personal football challenge, there is a link in the video description about the Premier League Hall of Fame. The first two Premier League Hall of Famers are Thierry Henry and Alan Shearer. In a footballing debate point of view, I disagree with it. I'm getting a lot of shit on the video, so I need a bit of United support. Should have been Roy Keane, maybe Ryan Giggs, maybe Paul Scholes. But get over there. Cantona's another one. Then you might have others. Andy Cole, maybe. Andy Cole's won more Premier League titles than Henry and Shearer, and he scored more goals than Henry. So links in the video description for that. Check it out. Smash a like on the video and give us some United support on that. I'll check you out in a little bit. Thanks for watching.